that he was going to give us the Holy Spirit, and then that we were to be his witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And part of what our Christian faith is about is the ability to share the story about who God is and what he's done for us and how he's used us and what he means to us. And share that not just to the people here, but around the world. And that's really what a lot of this trip was about. So I'm going to turn this over to you, Phil.
Yes. First of all, if the team members would come up, I won't feel so alone up here. We want to give a great big thank you to all of you here in this church because, 30 people went to Guatemala, but it took the whole church, your support and encouragement, your prayers, your financial resources. Many of you attended fundraisers. You gave of yourselves to give supplies for the Bible school that we put on in Guatemala. So I want to thank those that were on the mission committee that approved and endorsed this. And I'm just thankful to be part of a church, a body of believers that invest in missions and in our youth. I feel very blessed. So I'll try and paint the picture of what the mission was all about, and then I'm going to let the rest of the team share. And first of all, every one of the team are leaders. We just simply identified tasks at the very beginning. These things have to happen to be successful in our mission, and people just gave of their gifts and talents and abilities and point them in the right direction and watch the body of Christ at work. It was really, really an amazing and beautiful thing, and I feel blessed to have the opportunity to serve with this amazing group of people. We served in Antigua, Guatemala. It's a very beautiful colonial city that's been around since the 1500s. And some of the buildings there, so there's some ruins there that still exist from the 1500s. So some amazing Spanish architecture with a backdrop of volcanoes. There's three distinct volcanoes that surround the city. So the handiwork of God is so evident. It is a spectacular landscape. But within this city, this beautiful place, is a place of desperation. There's a lot wrong with Guatemala. The first and foremost, the government is very corrupt, and they give very little back to the people or to the community. They keep it to themselves. The country is controlled by three very powerful families, and they own most of the land, or they lease it out to people that, of course, give them kickbacks. So if you don't own land or if you're not in well with these families, then you are basically enslaved to them. You're working their fields. And I'll give you a situation of coffee is one of the main exports of Guatemala. Coffee, pineapple, bananas, and sugarcane. A family to work during harvest time for coffee, the quota, daily quota, is 100 pounds of coffee beans. It often takes three family members to meet that quota, often little children. They like the little hands that the children are better at picking beans than bigger-handed adults. So it's not uncommon to see a mother and two children. So to meet that quota, it can take up to three family members, and their pay at the end of the day is maybe $5. So split between three people, that gives you an idea of the hardship that they live under. The government is corrupt. Sanitation is very, very deplorable. There's feral dogs running everywhere. I smelled dog urine and feces almost everywhere I went. Chickens running everywhere. So kids are running around with poor shoes or no shoes at all, stepping in this fecal matter. So their bodies are filled with parasites. Their diet, Guatemala has the fourth highest malnutrition rate in the world. So the diet that they're getting is being, they're sharing that with the parasites that live inside their bodies. So stunting, I'm tall in Guatemala, believe it or not. They are very short people, and it's because of the poor nutrition that they have. Water, there is no such thing as treated water in Guatemala. So that's a serious problem. The water that they're drinking and using can cause serious sickness or possibly even death. So there's a lot working. The educational system is terrible. Most kids don't go to school. Fatherhood is very poor. The fathers are very absent, and it's left up to the mothers to care for their children. So there is a lot working against the people of Guatemala. But anyway, I'm going to let the team then share their experience, those that would like to.
I wrote mine because I knew I wouldn't get through it otherwise. So just bear with me. First, I'd like to thank Phil and Steve for all the support and prayers and for all of you while we were on our mission trip. I never knew I could get so excited to build bunk beds and chicken coops, but I did. To see them completed and the appreciation in the eyes of the family that received them was a humbling experience. I came home with a few bruises, a new appreciation for the USA, and a bigger realization that I have so very much to be thankful. The youth that went on this trip are fun, and sometimes they're a little silly. But to see them conduct the Bible school, Jacob reading in Spanish, the actors, Colin playing guitar, and all of them singing in Spanish, I have new appreciation for them, and this is in no small measure helped by Jenny and our youth pastor, who is a little silly at times too. Did we make a difference? Well, yes, we did. For the families that received the beds and chicken coops, for the children who got to take part in Bible school and wanted to be assured that they were making their Joseph and his coat of many colors just right, for the mothers watching their children with such pride as they took part in Bible school and how they all love seeing their pictures on our cameras. I still have much to mull over in my head about this trip, but it was an amazing week, an awesome week.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I wasn't planning to go on this trip. On June 1st, I got a phone call. Phil said, he left a long message on my phone, left a long message on Andrew's phone, basically said that they had a space, and I called back and I said, I don't have a passport. It had expired. So, but I said yes, and on June 12th, I went and got my passport down in D.C. and got on the plane on June 17th, nothing like cutting it short and getting your paperwork in late. I'm a teacher, and what I do when I do it, I'm very passionate about what I do. And for those of you who are teachers, you know what I'm talking about. We have something, and we want to share it with all the people around us, and we get really excited about that. I didn't go to teach on this trip. I went to learn and to serve. And one of the coolest experiences I had, the first day I built a bunk bed, and there were a whole lot of us on the site, and so I kind of stood and pretended to talk to people because I speak no Spanish. Thankfully, we had Jolie, who is a wonderful translator. And the second day, I went to build a chicken coop, and there were 12 of us in a space smaller than this. And so I was standing there, and Jolie came to me, and a bunch, she disappeared for a little while, and she came back, and she waved at us and said, ladies, come, we're going to go learn to make tortillas. And I love to cook. So this is like right up my alley. So we go down there, and I want to preface this by one day, the day before, we had gone to one of the street businesses and gotten tortillas. And you can get a stack of corn tortillas this big for $1. Okay? $1. And that's a lot of money for them because it's about, how many quetzals? 7 quetzals? About 7 quetzals, and the average business or the worker who worked there would make about 50 or 60 quetzals a month. I mean, that's the total take home. And so when you think about that many tortillas for $1, and so these women had offered, there were 3 of them, they had offered to give us a lesson in tortilla making, and I dropped the first one. And I was horrified because this is these people's livelihood. They had given to me for nothing. And I had dropped their materials on the ground. Not only were they giving it to us and teaching us, but they were going to let us take them away and feed them to the people in our group. And I dropped their stuff. They laughed at me. They thought it was hysterical, fortunately. And we went down and fed it to the chickens, and I came back and tried again. And I actually wasn't too bad. That, for me, was probably one of the most meaningful experiences, because I had the opportunity to receive from them something that they were experts at doing. And you saw it in the video. You saw them women doing their tortillas, and you saw us not doing them so well. But that was really a deeply moving experience for me as an educator, to go and to learn something. And I think for them to be able to share that with us really meant something, too. So,
hi, I'm Sue, and we started preparing for this trip by reading A Hole in Our Gospel, which is an amazing book, and it really gets you thinking about missions and why we're there and why should you go to other countries. So we had been reading this book, and you go and you're like, you're just prepared to sacrifice and suffer. But when we got there, there really wasn't much sacrificing and suffering. We were staying in this lovely hotel, and they fed us very well, and we had very comfortable beds to sleep in. So it was like, wow, this isn't so bad. You know, this is, you know, I can do this. It did rain a lot, and so there was some discomfort there. But when people asked me about how I liked the mission trip, and it was my first ever. I had never been on a mission trip. I just had a blast. I just thought it was so much fun. And I was kind of surprised at that. Another thing I was surprised at was the living conditions. We were in homes of people. We were kind of dispatched from the school, and we would go to different homes, and we would visit. And some of us took food, and some of us went to build chicken coops, and some of us went to build bunk beds. I was just so taken aback about how the living conditions were really worse than I expected them to be inside a typical home. Most homes, you just had these like sheets of metal for outside walls, and then you had dirt floors, and the lucky people maybe had concrete floors. But the living conditions were really worse than I expected. But even though the living conditions were so poor, the people were just so awesome. They were so kind and so welcoming and so friendly and so innocent. Even the adults were just had this innocence about them, like they just opened up their hearts and they were ready to receive whatever we were willing to give. And so because of that, you ended up feeling like you were the one who really, you know, you felt more gifted than, you know, we were there to bestow beds and chicken coops and everything else, but it was just awesome. I would do it again, and it was fun. We had fun. I mean, just interacting with our teammates and the people of Guatemala. It was just a blast.
I'm Maggie, and I went on the mission trip last year, and I'm kind of thankful that we got to, because there were 30 of us along with about 26 or so other people from Oklahoma. So we traveled a lot to different homes every day. So probably like each day we went around to like 9 families or so, just in our group alone, like doing different things. Well, not so much, but but I'm kind of glad we got to go to different houses and just spread more of our love to a bunch of different families. Because last year, as amazing, like the amazing things we did last year, we just worked with like one family. But I thought it was kind of cool to be able to experience all of the different houses and being able to assess different families and just the culture of all of those different people. And it was really nice. Some of us also went around to deliver food baskets and to different families. And we went on one delivery, and all of the families we went to, they had kids at the school we were working through. So these families all had kids going to this school. So we went to this family, and we were delivering food. And it was like every other house we'd been to. There was a long alleyway, and it was just a tin roof, tin walls. And so we went in there, and the wife was so happy to see us, and she was just so nice. And she pulled up chairs for everyone to sit down. And we were there for a good, like, half an hour or 45 minutes. And it was just so nice being, yeah. And her husband came home from working hard, doing something. He was a handyman or, yeah, stonemason or something. And she gave him some money, and he went to buy a liter of Pepsi and some cups for all of us, and they gave us some Pepsi. And they were such a beautiful family, because the woman was, you know, she was working on sending some of her kids to college, and she probably had about six children. And her father lived with her, and he was like 80-something. And he had 8 children and 48 grandchildren. And and so it was like a really beautiful family, because they were so welcoming, and they were so loving towards us, and they were so grateful for us. So it was nice to just like connect with the family and talk with them and ask them questions. So I liked being able to go to a bunch of different families.
I think we were all blessed by the people in Guatemala, and I don't want to even talk about the great blessings of the people who blessed us in Guatemala. I want to tell you guys how much I was blessed by the people right here and the people who aren't even here on the stage, and even by you guys. I want to thank you guys for making it possible for us to go. And the teenagers, if you guys have not had opportunities to work with the teenagers who got to go on this trip, or even the ones who did not, look for opportunities to do that. I haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to do that, but sitting around their table at dinner time blessed me. Getting to build a chicken coop with teenagers blessed me. Riding in a van with sweaty teenagers who'd been rained on blessed me. They are silly, and they are lovely, and they've got so much to offer. And if you think you don't have anything to give at a missions trip or something like that, you might not be able to build a chicken coop, but you've got something to give on a missions trip, and you've got something to receive on a missions trip. And Larry Seville is not a teenager, but he blessed me. And Lewis Brathwaite blessed me on there, and interacting with folks there. It's just when you travel someplace with other people, you get to know people in a different way than when you sit beside people every week, you know, in a pew. It's a wonderful experience, and don't think that you're too young to do it. Don't think that you're too old to do it. I encourage every single one of you who has not had an opportunity, or even if you have already done it, there's still a reason to do it again. Please do this again.
Hi, I'm Robin. This was my first mission trip, so I went on it with a plan of what I wanted to accomplish when I was there. The first day, I helped build bunk beds. The second day, I helped deliver food and supplies to families. So the third day, I planned on, in the morning, visiting this disabled facility that we were some of us were going to, and in the afternoon I was going to get to build chicken coops. But when I got up Wednesday morning, God had a different plan for me. And for Brady as well. I'll probably get in trouble for telling because he's not here, but Phil told me that Brady, my son, who's 18 and about to go to college and doesn't need mom anymore, had been sick all night and was not going to be able to go with us that day. So I know that was hard for Brady too, because he's if anyone here knows him, he's always energetic and, you know, very strong in his faith and wants to help others. So he wasn't able to go that day. And as a mom, I knew I wasn't leaving my child, 18 or not, back at the hotel by himself. So God's plan for me that day And it was a humbling experience, I think, for Brady as well to have to need his mom that day. But he and I spent the day back at the hotel. I was very sad because I felt like I want to be out with everyone else serving today. But God's plan for me that day was to stay and be a mom and nurse my son back to health so that both of us could serve others the next day. So I went all the way to Guatemala, and God showed me that my plan isn't always what he wants, that it was his plan that ruled that day. So definitely mission trip was a good experience.
I got to go last year, be a part of the group, and for my first mission trip last year, it was an emotional experience. It was life-changing. So this year I went down and offered my assistance to help Phil lead this group, and when he eagerly accepted, I wasn't sure what I was getting into. But leading a group of 30 had its challenges, but at the same time, I learned a lot from these people. One thing that I just thinking about that I came back with, before we went down, we had reading assignments. Phil wanted to make sure we were well-equipped this time. And one of that was reading a book called A Hole in Our Gospel. And as I read that, there was one portion of that book that just kept jumping out at me, and that was God telling us to love our neighbor. And then every time I picked up my Bible or I spoke to somebody else here at church, whatever, that just kept coming back at me. It became clear God was trying to teach me something. And while we were down there, that being fresh on my mind, it was incredible that everywhere you went, people you didn't know, you'll never see again, walking by waving and smiling, and thought, well, this is really easy. You know, it's real simple to love your neighbor. And down there, it was. But the challenge that I realized and what God was preparing me for became clear yesterday. I was at Walmart in Hagerstown. And you know, we're walking through, and people are, you know, they're cutting you off, and they act like you don't even exist. They're all wrapped up in themselves. And it just jumped out at me at that very moment. I told Robin at that moment, you know, this whole love your neighbor thing is really hard. So if I learn anything, dealing with people who are in such poverty and you know, in despair in their life, to have the ability just to show that outward love to everybody, regardless of whether you know them or not, that's something for us to learn in our culture here in the United States, where we have just about anything we could possibly want at an arm's reach. So, you know, that was what I think I brought, the biggest thing I brought back with me.
Hi, I'm Ben. And probably the most, like, life-changing thing I experienced there in Guatemala was just how much, like, when I got home and when I realized how much stuff I take for granted, like everything I have. I have endless amounts of things in my closet that I do not use, and just it all just sits there and collects dust. And I felt bad. I felt guilty because I know there'd be tons of kids in Guatemala who would love to play with some of the stuff in my closet, like all the board games and stuff that I have. I know they would love that, and it's just they have so little, and they lack all the nutrition and stuff that they need, and it's just sad to see that. And it's just even the little things you do to help them, like building a bunk bed or a chicken coop, and just like talking to them, trying to talk to them, is just makes them really happy.
Hi, I'm Rebecca, and it was my first mission trip, and it was very life-changing for me, because when I came back and when I was there, I definitely learned, you know, what I take for granted and what everybody here, you know, in the U.S. takes for granted. When I was there, something that stuck out for me was that the children, you know, they have nothing, but yet they still smile. And I did house visits, and we took food, and we took housing supplies, and that was really cool. And I also got to play soccer with the little children. And I think it was on the third or fourth day, I got to play soccer with, it was either two or three kids, and it was in a alleyway, and it was like trash and stuff, but they were still smiling, and that was very inspiring for me. And I will definitely go on another mission trip when I'm older, because it was definitely life-changing.
She doesn't have a thing to say.
She's shy?
I share your
sentiments. Okay, she shares my sentiments, Debbie Blackwell. I've spent my career teaching special needs handicapped people from birth to 21-year-olds, and then had several adults in my life that are handicapped too. And the problems I initially studied about before going to Guatemala came from Bible verses and current events and the State Department page, which say, cocaine, heroin, inferior sewer and water systems, sexual immorality, witchcraft, idolatry, hatred, discord, selfish ambition, factions and dissensions, envy, drunkenness, all kinds of things are going on, poor government choices and leadership. Kind of like Berkeley Springs, but a far more intense level. It started out with the hurricane. You know, I was thinking, oh my gosh, we're not going to be doing anything but digging out for mudslides initially. But we got there, and Carlotta, I believe was her name, just headed northwest, and we all breathed a sigh of relief there. The public schools, as a teacher, I was very interested in what's going on in education down there. They go on double sessions. Some kids go in the morning, some kids go in the afternoon. By the time they're 11 years old, they're done school. There's no free breakfast, there's no free lunch, so teachers are putting up with overcrowded classrooms with very hungry children. Guatemala is slightly smaller than Tennessee. The mission committee gave us these little notebooks. Were very helpful to a teacher. It's slightly smaller than Tennessee, with 14 million people. Life expectancy for males is 69, and for females it's 73. 50% of the kids under 5 years old are malnourished. And coffee's big, sugar's big, bananas are big, vegetables, spices, cattle, sheep, pigs. They export $10 billion. They're bringing in money. But only a few, you know, like if with 14 million people, I figure if they give them each a half a million, there'd still be enough left over to be selfish. You have textiles, clothing, chemicals, petroleum, metals, rubber, and then tourism. It's pretty big down there. They're on a temporary status with the United Nations for this year alone. They've been off because of the terrible way they treat people. Where even Syria is still part of the United Nations, and they're really bad. But if they don't maintain their status of quality treatment of people, they're back off the United Nations, which is a major statement in my mind. Every hair on your head is counted. One of the pastors, the younger pastors, they dress up like Rastas, and the one talked to us about Jonah and how Jonah would rather be dead than do what God told him what to do. And he asked us, you know, like, how many of you know somebody who would rather be dead than do what God asks you to do? And it's like, well, that's serious. I know a few. And it's just amazing. They just went on from running from God. People run from God. Or do what God calls you to do. So this group, this is how the body of Christ gets built up here in our church. You go and you do what God asks you to do, and the body of Christ gets stronger. I've seen that on every mission team I've been with, through this church and other activities. The body of Christ, our body of Christ, gets built up stronger, and then other bodies get up too, build up too. The major thing I went there to see was the special center. It's like a hospital, wards and wards, 250 people. They're building another center for another 350 people. They don't educate the handicapped children there. They hospitalize them, treat them like they're sick, have them in wards. It's very clean. There's gardens all over. No smell of urine or stench. It's a clean hospital. And it's run by the Franciscan friars and the nuns. There's gardens all throughout, pools for therapy, aquatherapy, and things like that. But they get up, they bathe them, they sit in chairs. All these wards, 250 people in wards, just sitting in chairs all day. It's like, oh, I couldn't imagine. I wondered how special ed would be without a federal law. It doesn't exist. We build up the body of Christ.
That's, I would totally agree with that, too. That for me, the trip was extremely encouraging. The God just every, just seemed like everywhere I looked, God was showing himself to be powerful and to be compassionate, and that he had already been working before we even got there. I think that's what is so encouraging to me, that there's two organizations there that we worked with the Jeremiah Project and with the Kairos School, and God was already working with them, and he continues his work there with this group, and we got to be part of that for a week, and it was really a blessing and really an encouragement. The Christians that are there that are so obedient to God's call on their life and so faithful to trust him to provide everything they need to do the work that he has set before them in Guatemala is really a testimony to God's goodness and his faithfulness, and was a real blessing to me to just see to see that is really amazing. And to know we got to participate in that for a week, but it's an ongoing thing there. Even that we're not there, God is still there, and he is still doing his work, and he is still faithful to call those children and their families to him. And I think that he's to be praised for that. I'm just really overflowing with thankfulness about that.
We probably have time for
anybody else?
Hi, I'm Lewis. If you want to know the stories, please ask us. We will witness to you. We will testify to anyone about what we have seen, what we have been through, how God's hand has been upon us. If you do not have an opportunity to go on a mission trip, and I've served on the mission committee in this church for over 3 years now, but with the details and making sure T's were crossed, I's were dotted, policy and procedures and all of that. And I've been on mission trips before. But the first time a mission trip from this church, and then you stick me with a group like this right here, I mean, come on. They were something else. They were awesome. I went there probably as totally unprepared to do anything like this that I have ever been in my life. But in the weakness that I was, God showed his strength, and he will do the same with you. And if you are not able to go, please support missions from this church right here. Please, 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 as you have done, continue to do so, so that others may be blessed and we may bring those blessings back with us or whatever group that goes. Thank you.
Wait a second, guys. Wait a second before you go. Debbie, wait before you go. I was told that one of the very touching moments of this trip was also watching you play with so many little kids, Lewis Brathwaite. And there was a lot of little kids that apparently gathered around, and you played them with all your heart and soul, and touched some lives with that. And that's a really cool thing. When you get outside of what's your normal place of eating and sleeping and operating and have an opportunity to do things that you don't usually do, it gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to do great things within you and great things with you. And you sometimes ask, well, why do you have to go so far for that to happen? Sometimes it's because it takes some distance for us to become open to doing new and different things. And that's a powerful thing. So we need to keep both the people of Guatemala and us and them in your prayers. Go ahead, Phil.
I had been reserved to share this, but I thought I really think we ought to end with some encouragement and hope, because we painted, you know, it's It's a pretty desperate situation, but I'll share a story. The first day, one of the projects I worked on was home delivery of food and cleaning supplies. And we were serving, our base was Kairos School, that's why the T-shirt. Kairos in Greek means God's timing. Well, God timed this perfectly. We went to a home where they had just lost their grandmother the day before. So they were grieving. We felt really awkward. This is bad timing in our mind. Why did this happen? We're coming into this home at a time where they're grieving. The villages are all the villagers were coming to visit. Well, here was a time that we realized after we got through that awkward moment, they needed that food because all these visitors were coming and they needed our prayer. And there was a little girl, I think her name was Cindy, I'm not sure, who was really struggling. She was really filled with grief and sorrow. And I saw her home that she lived in, and it was squalor. Dirt floor, very unsanitary conditions, just sheet metal walls, and poorly dressed. But then 3 days later, I saw that same little girl at the Kairos school in a nice, clean, neat uniform, hair really pulled back, very, very appropriately dressed and learning. That girl is not going to have the same life that she has right now in the future because of the ministry of this school. So there is good things going. God is at work, and he is making changes in the lives of these kids. That's what I wanted to share.
Amen. I'm going to encourage you to, thank you very much. I'm going to encourage you to grab your hymn. Then we're going to close with the hymn, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, number 277, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. For that till 1 o'clock. The funds will be used for future mission trips. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that God wrote 7 letters to 7 different churches in which he shared with them what they did well and what they did not do well. And every once in a while I wonder if when we get to heaven, God is going to ask First United Methodist Church as a group to come in front of him. I wonder if he's going to say, First United Methodist Church, you and Berkeley Springs, come forward. I want you to come up and I want to share with you my heart about your church. And I wonder if he's going to say to us, you know, I so appreciated the heart you had for kids and for youth. You work so hard to reach kids. I appreciate the fact that you went literally to the ends of the earth and built chicken coops for poor people who had no idea who I was or what I was trying to do. And I thank you that you did that in my name. And I think that God sees the heart of a church understands who they are, their strengths, their weaknesses, and is blessed when they do things in his name. And so as you go, I pray that you and I, the church, would go in his name, and that as we serve wherever we are, here or around the world, that we will be a blessing in the name of Jesus. And that one day as we gather together, he might say to us as a group, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You've taken what I've given you and done much with it to bless my kingdom and my name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen."